Amen. Appreciate Brother Vashon Daniel leading us in our singing this morning. And the congregation for following his lead and blending your voices together. We're grateful for the scripture reading by Brother Davis. Grateful for the meaningful prayer led by Brother David Love. This day is widely celebrated as Father's Day. In reality, I would like to be able to say that every day should be Father's Day. Certainly, it is altogether fitting and proper to designate a day as Father's Day. Anytime we can take conscious recognition of the vital important role or the vitally important role that fathers feel, we should be so focused. And certainly we should be appreciative of good fathers everywhere, especially of our own fathers. As it relates to Mother's Day, I always like to remind individuals, whether you're speaking of Mother's Day or Father's Day, when we talk about honoring our parents, our mothers and our fathers, you can honor your parents, you can honor your mother, you can honor your father, regardless as to whether they are alive and well or have passed off the scene. Whenever we live in such a way as to reflect the values for which our parents stood and those things that they taught us and expected of us, whenever we live in a way that is consistent with their core values, we are honoring them, whether they are dead or alive. I'm very grateful for all fathers. I'm especially thankful for my father. This is the first Father's Day that my dad has not been still around. He's been ill in the last several years. He passed off the scene a few months ago, but I'm more and more appreciative of him and grateful for him, for the kind of life he lived, for the example he provided for us. So I'm just thankful to have had a father like the father that I had. Some of you might have already looked at our bulletin today. Sister Kuhl has a very nice article on fathers. She was thinking along the same lines that I was thinking. I've had a very challenging week this past week. Really, for the past 2 weeks, I've had a very challenging week. And I appreciate all of your prayers and the concern that you have demonstrated for me. I had an MRI about 2 weeks ago. I have a bulging disc, I'm told, and a pinched nerve. I'm scheduled on July the 1st to have a visit to a spine specialist. I've been experiencing quite a bit of pain in my legs over the last several weeks, so continue to keep me in your prayers. And I certainly appreciate you checking on me and asking how I'm doing and letting me know that you're praying for me. Please keep that up. Our scripture lesson is taken from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. want to look at a faithful father. A faithful father. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. In this verse, we see that Paul speaks of the obligations of children to their parents. A first, primary, fundamental obligation that children have to their parents, that children have to their mothers and their fathers, is to simply be obedient to them. And when one would inquire, and sometimes children will wax bold enough to inquire of their parents, why do I have to do what you say do? Why do I have to be obedient to you, Dad? Or why do I have to be obedient to you, Mom? Paul puts it very simply and puts it very plainly. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You don't really need any other reasoning. You don't need any other explanation. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. How come? Why? Because this is right. Turn to Colossians chapter 3, verse number 20. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 20. Paul says in this passage, children, obey your parents in all things. Why? How come? For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Children, obey your parents in all things. Why? Because this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. The obligations that children have to their parents, to their mothers and their fathers. In verse number 2 of Ephesians 6, Paul says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now we understand, I think most of us understand exactly why Paul made this statement and from what passage he is making this statement on the basis of. Look at Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Verse number 12. Paul says this is the first commandment with promise. Built-in promise. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. I believe that the promise still stands if we live in such a way as to honor our parents, to honor our mothers, and to honor our fathers. I think it still tends to prolong our lives. I think it still tends to enrich and bless our lives when we live in a manner that is consistent with what our parents want us to do and how our parents wants us to live. And whenever we live in such a way or conduct ourselves in such a way that it's a positive reflection upon our parents, it cannot but help be in our benefit. You know, I think about Brother Young and the trouble he got in out in Dallas in that strip club. Now, if he had been home in bed, asleep, resting, as any self-respecting man would be at that time of the morning, he would not have gotten himself entangled in the situation he found himself in. There are a lot of people who could have avoided and averted all kinds of trouble, all kinds of accidents, all kinds of problems, and even the loss of their lives if they lived in a manner that showed honor for their mother and their father. If they lived in a manner which demonstrated their obedience to the core values for which their mothers and fathers stood. And I contend that you can honor your parents by living in a manner that's consistent with what they believe, whether they always practice that or not. Because none of us has perfect parents. None of us has parents who never made any mistakes. None of us has parents who've never sinned. None of us have parents who have always parented us in exactly the way that we should be or should have been parented. But it's obvious that children have an obligation to their parents to obey them and to honor them. And God has built in special blessing that it may be well with you and thou mayest live long on the earth. So we're looking at the obligation of the children to the parents, but there's also an obligation of the parents to the children. There are some things that children are owed by their parents. And when we look at fathers, there are some things that fathers owe their children. Verse number 4, Paul says, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." You know, don't relate to them in such a way that you provoke them unnecessarily and cause them to become angry and cause them to become disturbed with you. There are a number of things that children, that fathers rather, can do to provoke their children to wrath. One of those is to demonstrate favoritism. You know, when you treat one child different from the other child or the other children, you can provoke your children to wrath. Another way we can provoke our children to wrath is by being inconsistent in our disciplining of our children. You know, if you let a child get away with a particular offense or behavior one time, and then the next time you punish them severely, and then two times later you go ahead and allow him to get away with it again, and then on that next, the third time you punish him severely, then what you end up doing is exasperating the child and provoking the child unto wrath. We can provoke our children unto wrath by being over-controlling, by just constantly being on them and over-controlling them, especially as they begin to grow up and mature. Of course, another way we can provoke our children unto wrath is by under-controlling them. Just let them have, do whatever they want to do. Let them grow up like wild weeds. That can also provoke them unto wrath. Turn to Colossians 3 again. Colossians chapter 3. Verse Verse number 21 of Colossians chapter 3 says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger." And the reasoning he gives here is, "lest they be discouraged." Provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Being a father is a very challenging enterprise. It's not something that is easy to be a father, to bring children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord is not something that is easy to do. Turn back over to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm going to start with verse number 4, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 4. Oftentimes we just refer to this passage, but let's actually read this passage, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." What he's saying is that in bringing our children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, we should allow the Word of God to have a central place in our hearts and in our lives. And before God's Word can have a central place in our lives, it is absolutely necessary that the Word of God have a central place in our hearts. Amen. He says, "These words which I command you this day," in verse number 6, "shall be in thine heart." And in order to be able to teach them to our children, they must be in our hearts. In order for us to demonstrate the proper love for our children, we must demonstrate the proper love for God. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." That's something that we owe our children. That's an obligation we have for our children. I want you to think, as you look at the word father, a little bit different, although there's some overlapping than what we have in the bulletin. But you be sure that you read that article on fathers in the bulletin today. But when we think about the F, we want to think in terms of a father being faithful. A father should be faithful. He should be faithful to his creator. He should be faithful to his companion. And he should be faithful to his children. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2 says, "It is required in a steward that a man be found faithful." Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life." In 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9, that's a passage that is frequently referenced. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, what we're saying is, in talking about what it means to be faithful, or what it is to be faithful, We think about God and God's faithfulness. Whenever God makes a promise, he keeps the promise. Whenever God states that he's going to do a particular thing, God always follows through. God is faithful. Amen. When we talk about being faithful, we talk about oftentimes a man being faithful to his wife. You know, we think in terms of, well, he's going to keep himself only unto her so long as he shall live. He's not going to get involved with somebody else. You know, that is a part of faithfulness, and it's a vital part of faithfulness. But there are some other things that are involved in being faithful as well. A father should be faithful in providing for the needs and for the welfare of his wife and his children. Not only is a good father faithful, but a good father's also available. You know, so many fathers are AWOL, that's absent without leave. We see it increasingly. It's a very lamentable and tragic situation when you find fathers not at home with their wives and with their children, fathers who abandon their children in order to have the proper kind of relationship with your child and to do the proper kind of fathering, it is necessary that a father be available for his children. Not only must a father be available for his children, but a father must also be trustworthy. A father should earn the trust of his children to the point that they can depend upon him, to the point that they can depend upon him to provide those things that they need for their physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 8, Paul says, if any provide not for his own, especially they of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. You know, there are a lot of things that need to be provided for our children by our fathers. And of course, we need to provide for their physical well-being, their emotional and psychological well-being, and most of all for their spiritual well-being. We should, and we have an obligation to help our children cultivate fourfold growth. Turn to the passage over in Luke chapter 2 and verse 52. Luke chapter 2 and verse 52. The Bible says, and Jesus increased in wisdom, that is intellectually he grew, and stature, that is physically he grew, and in favor with God and man. He grew spiritually, and he grew socially as well. It is the father's obligation and responsibility to ensure that children grow intellectually, that children grow physically, that children grow spiritually, and that children grow socially. That's an obligation of a faithful father. Not only is a faithful father faithful and available and trustworthy in carrying out his obligations, not only can he be counted on, can he be depended on, but also, if you're going to be a faithful father, you have to be a husband first. You know, when you become a father, before you become a husband, you put the cart before the horse. So if you want to be a faithful father, the first thing you need to be is a faithful husband. After you've become a faithful husband, then you become a faithful father. Not only that, but when you're looking at a good father, you want to look at one who sets a good example. And we can take a cue from Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, Paul says, be ye therefore followers of me as also I am of Christ. We should be followers of Christ. And we should be able to set such an example that we can say to our children, genuinely and sincerely and authentically, be followers of me as I am of Christ. And then, finally, a good father is a father who is responsible. He has responsibilities and obligations, and he carries out his responsibilities. He lives up to his responsibilities. Are you a good father today? Are you faithful? Are you available? Are you teachable? Are you trustworthy? Are you a good husband? Are you a good example? Are you responsible? And again, I say a good father is responsible to his creator, he's responsible to his companion, and he's responsible to his children. And also, I call to your attention again, when you look at the last three letters of father, F-A-T-H-E-R, the last three letters spell her, her. You cannot be a good father the way you should without her. And when I say without her, I'm not talking about your daughter. When I say without her, I'm not talking about your mama. When I say without her, I'm not talking about your granny. I'm talking about your wife. If you're going to be a faithful father, a good quality father, you must have an her. You must have that wife. That wife. You need a wife. And you need, in being a faithful father, to be faithful not only to the Creator, not only to the children, but you need to be faithful to the wife as well. I trust that all of us as fathers will put forth every possible effort to be the very best possible fathers that we can be. And I hope we'll take seriously to heart the responsibilities and the obligations that go along with being a faithful father. The lesson is yours. May God bless all of our fathers. May he help them to be faithful fathers. If you are here and you are not a child of God, if you've not obeyed the gospel of Christ, we'd like to urge you to do that. You've heard the good news of the gospel. Believe that good news. Repent of your sins, confess your faith, and be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, and you can arise from that watery grave ready to live a brand new life. If you are here and you're already a child of God, but you have fallen by the wayside and need to rededicate your life to the Lord, we'd like to encourage you to do that through repentance, confession, and prayer. And we'd like to encourage you to do it even right now as we together stand and as we sing.
Trouble sometimes I hear, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we all hold dear, now's at stake. Humble your hearts to God, saves from the chastening rod. Seek the way pilgrims trod, Christians awake. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night, night or noon, many will meet. Trumpets will sound, and all of the dead shall rise, righteous meeting the skies, going where no one